Tremendous Yasher Koach to Ari Brandspiegel for all the work that went into putting this program together, and Yasher Koach to all the chevra that's here. I hope that we have a meaningful and uplifting Chodesh Elul together, learning b'chabura, and having an opportunity to be inspired all together as a group. So we started to discuss yesterday the issue of blowing shofar with a mask, and as we said, that there are two different parts to that question. The question that we discussed yesterday was having a shofar on one's mouth while trying to blow, having a mask on one's mouth while trying to blow a shofar through the mask. And that was a very interesting discussion that revolved around the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Tzipehu Zav, if you put a golden lip around the edge of the shofar, whether or not that would disqualify the Tkiyah shofar. The more spoken about issue that everyone is discussing now is whether or not you can put a mask at the very end of the shofar, and as you blow, anything, any particles that will potentially come out of your mouth will be stopped by the mask at the end of the shofar. Would that be something that would disqualify the Tkiyah shofar, or perhaps not? So just as an aside, a very interesting anecdotal fact that anecdotal story that Rabbi Glatt shared with me last week was that he has a friend who's an ophthalmologist who also happens to be an expert Baal Tokeah. And he said that his friend, often if you go to the ophthalmologist, they put dye in your eyes, which is, I think, something that's very highly sensitive. So he said that his friend filled up his shofar with this dye that he usually uses in his office for ophthalmology. And at the very end of the shofar, he taped on a piece of paper to see, as he was going to blow the 100 kolos, would there be any dye that would show up on the end of the piece of paper as he finished doing so. And after he was done, he took the paper to his office and he looked at it under the UV light, which he uses to normally find the dye that you use in these offices. And he said, after blowing 100 kolos, he was still unable to see anything that came through the entirety of the shofar because of his blowing. That was something that Rabbi Glatt felt was a very compelling story. He just self-experiment, and he said his friend tried it a few days in a row, a few different times, and I thought that that was very interesting. So it could be, I have no idea, but scientifically it's possible that this whole issue is really not necessary in the first place. It's possible that nothing really comes through the shofar because by the time it gets through, everything is already disintegrated and any particles that may have come out of one's mouth are not really there. But let's talk about it in theory. Is this something that would be acceptable? This really is a very clear-cut halacha. It's really not so complicated. The Mishnah says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Hatokea Letoch HaBur or Letoch HaDus. If you have somebody who is standing above ground and they point the shofar into a pit and they blow the shofar into that pit. So the Mishnah discusses whether or not that would be an acceptable way to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, and the Mishnah comes to the conclusion. If you hear the Kol HaShofar, then you are Yotze the Mitzvah. If you're hearing a kol havara, as the Gemara says, if you hear just an echo from the shofar being blown, then lo yatza. Then says the Gemara, you would not be able to be yotze the mitzvah. So the Rishonim are all bothered. What kind of strange case does the Gemara give? Why would somebody ever in their right mind stand over a pit, blow into the pit? Why can't you just blow in shul or blow out in a field? What is the purpose? What are we trying to accomplish by blowing into the pit? And the Rishonim write, the reason why this case is described in the Mishnah there is because we're talking about a situation where they were afraid of whoever it was that didn't allow them to perform the mitzvos, and therefore there were people hiding in a pit, hiding in a dungeon. And the question was, am I able to blow shofar? There's no other way to blow shofar. Am I able to be yotze the mitzvah blowing shofar when I do it in such a fashion? And that's really what's being discussed over there. The Bar Tanura and other Rishonim point out that the whole discussion that the Gemara has about whether you're Yotze from hearing the shofar or from hearing the echo, that's only for the people that are outside of the pit. All the people that are inside of the pit and hearing the shofar directly, there's no question at all. It's just for those of us that may be standing on top, we have to ask ourselves, are we hearing the actual kol ha-shofar itself, or are we just hearing the reverberation? Are we just hearing the echo of the shofar? So that is what the Gemara's conclusion is. If you hear the actual shofar, you're Yotze. If you hear an echo of the shofar, that would be something that is problematic. La halacha, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Siman Tav Kuf Peivav in Hilchos Tkiyah Shofar, and that's the bottom line. That's what he says, that if you're going to hear the sound of the shofar, then that would be acceptable. If not, that would be a problem. So if you have a Dabar Achim Urava, for example, the Shulchan Aruch gives a case. I'm not sure why somebody would do this either, but if you have a shofar betoch ha-shofar, two kosher shofaros, but I stick one inside of the other, would I be able to be Yotzi or not? So there again, the Shulchan Aruch says, as he does with many other cases there in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Vav, that if you have a situation where you hear the actual Kol HaShofar, without a davar acher me'urva, that would be okay. But if you're going to have a shofar blowing that's going to then cause an echo, and then people are going to have two sounds roaming around their ears, that is something that would be problematic. So it's pretty clear cut. When it comes to this halacha, that's the bottom line. You have to test it out, and you have to see. If you blow the shofar and with the mask on it, you have the same kind of kol as you would have if it was without a mask, that would be acceptable. If it's now going to change the kol ha-shofar and it's going to sound like it's a davar acher me'urva, then that would be a problem. Let me just point out, obviously, it may be a lower tone, a lower volume than you otherwise would have had. That would not pose a problem. The question is it going to change the style of kol ha-shofar that you're going to hear? And that's really what this discussion is all about, which leads many of the contemporary achronim of the last 50, 60 years, Rabbi Avad Yosef as a Chulabet, and Rabbi Moshe and the Yigas Moshe, and the Minchas Yitzchak, and the Tzitz Eliezer, and Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, and anybody who had anything to say in halacha in the last 50 years, used this sugya as the basis for the discussion about whether or not you're allowed to use a microphone when you do Mikra Megillah. And they wanted to know, should we then extend the halacha from shofar and say that that applies to everything else? That as long as I have somebody who's reading the Megillah and it happens to be over a microphone, you have to ask yourself, am I hearing the call of the Baal Kore, or am I hearing just some other reverberation that comes out as a result of what he's doing, and therefore that would not be an acceptable way to be mekayim the mitzvah? And they all try to figure out whether you can extend the halacha by tkiyas shofar to other mitzvahs haTorah or not, or should we assume that perhaps this is a local din that applies only to the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, and really it should not be extended. Now the truth is, when you look in the Torah itself, the Torah never says really the description of what's supposed to be done on Rosh Hashanah. So the Torah says in one place that it's a zichron trua, and the Gemara famously points out that the Torah says in another place it's a yom trua. And the Gemara doesn't say anything more than that unless you look in the pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. And that is the first place where we have a mention of tiku b'chodesh shofar. That's where we're told that you have to use a shofar in order to be yotzi the mitzvah of tkia on Rosh Hashanah. There's a major discussion in the Achronim. How do we understand the nature of the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar? And you'll understand in a minute why this is relevant to this discussion as well. So the Achronim want to know, we have a number of mitzvahs HaTorah that we're obligated to do every day. Let's say Birchas HaMazon whenever we eat, or Kriyas Shema, we have a mitzvah of Amira. So we have mitzvahs that we need to do. Kriyas HaMegillah we need to do on Purim. So would you say that the mitzvah over there is the Amira? I have to say the words of Kriyas Shema, I have to say the words of Birchas HaMazon, and the same would be over here, that the mitzvah is the act of tkia, the act of blowing is what I have an obligation to do. We can't come to shul and have 100 people or 500 people blowing shofar altogether. So we're yotze with shomea ka'onet. The same way if somebody else would say the benching for me, I would be able to be yotze. So too, if somebody else does the tkia for me, I'm yotze. But really, I'm supposed to be doing it on my own. Or do you say, no, the entirety of the mitzvah is only a mitzvah of shmiya? Just so happens to be the only way that you're able to hear the shofar is if somebody's actually going to blow it. But the real mitzvah is limited to a mitzvah of shmiya. So the Mate Ephraim discusses this, as well as the Minchas Chinuch and other achronim, and they say a very practical nafkamina. Says the Mate Ephraim, and this year it's extremely relevant. There are many elderly people who are not going to be coming to shul this Rosh Hashanah, unfortunately, or many people who are immunocompromised, they can't make it out to shul. And we're going to make some kind of accommodation for them. We're going to have communal tkiya shofar on the corner somewhere, and we're going to have some kind of way that everyone will be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. The question is, should they, do we say mitzvah bo yosemi bishlucho? If I'm going to be at home by myself, so I'm not coming to shul, I don't have the consideration of 100 other people blowing, should I go out of my way to be able to blow the shofar by myself? The same way we normally would say mitzvah bo yosemi bishlucho, it's much better for me to do the mitzvah by myself. Or would you say that's totally irrelevant to this discussion? Why? Says the Mate Ephraim, because here, if the whole nature of the mitzvah is just to hear the shofar, it doesn't matter who's blowing it. As long as I'm hearing it, that's good enough. If the mitzvah of the tkiyas shofar is the actual blowing itself, then maybe there's room to say mitzvah bo yosemi bishlucho. So if you look in the Torah, the Torah quotes a number of Rishonim. It's a discussion in the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Torah writes, you'll notice that when we blow the shofar, we make a bracha not litkoa ha-shofar, but rather lishma kol ha-shofar. Says the Torah, is that not a clear indication that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of shmiya? Obviously, we need to hear. If the mitzvah was that I'm supposed to blow, then we should have made a bracha with a different kind of adjective that is used. It should be litkoa. It should not be lishmoa. However, the achronim have other problems from that that emerge from a Mishnah that says that if a cherishot of a katan blow, it's not going to be effective. So that is a question. But the Torah also brings a proof from our Mishnah. Hatokeh letoch habor, it says that if a person blows into a pit, so then we say that those who hear the kol ha-shofar are yotzei. Those who don't hear the kol ha-shofar, they hear the echo, they are not going to be yotzei. And the Torah points out from the Rishonim that that is even with regard to the tokeya himself. Even if I'm the one blowing, but I hear the echo because I'm on top of the pit and everyone else is inside, I also am not yotzei the mitzvah. Says the Torah, doesn't that have a clear consensus, a clear indication from the Mishnah itself that the mitzvah must be a mitzvah of shmia, it is not a mitzvah of tkia, because if it was just about being a tokeya, what does it matter what I hear? I did my mitzvah and that should be sufficient. The Minchas Chinuch comes to the conclusion, as well as many others, that there must be some kind of combination that's necessary here. You obviously need a tokeya and you need a mitzvah of shmia, and you have to split hairs to figure out exactly how to define what the mitzvah is, how much of it is tkia, how much of it is shmia. But either way, this is something that is a very rich discussion in many of the achronim. I remember when I was single, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, I spent by Rav Asher Weiss's house, and we were discussing this over Shabbos, and he mentioned to me a beautiful thought that he subsequently printed in one of his svarim. I couldn't find it at 2 o'clock in the morning last night, but it's there somewhere. So if you look at it, it's a very interesting discussion where he says that perhaps this is all the halachic part of the discussion. But there's also maybe something al pi ha'ashkafa to try to understand what the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar really represents. On the one hand, we have a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah that says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tiku lefanai b'shofar shel ayil, kedei she'ezko lachem akedas Yitzchak ben Avram. The Ribbono shel Olam says we should all blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah in order that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will remember the story, the experience of Akedas Yitzchak. And I will consider that as if you have all sacrificed yourselves as karbanos, just as Avraham Avinu was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak. So on the one hand, that's one of the reasons, that's one of the purposes of tkiyas shofar on Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav, that when we choose which shofar we're going to use, we are told to choose the one that is bent. Why? Because kama dekayif inish, Daita tvei malali. If I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to be bent a little bit, just as the shofar, that is really giving me the complete experience of what Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be. Rosh Hashanah is really a humbling experience for all of us. It's a time where we highlight the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We realize the shiflus ha'adam. We realize how simple we are in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Asher Weiss suggested maybe the Gemara is telling us that both of these aspects are critical for the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar. The tkiya and the shmiya are both critical components for the mitzvah because we're trying to take care of two different parts of what is being accomplished when we blow the shofar. On the one hand, we have a tkiya. We have an opportunity to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu watch us do that mitzvah of tkiya. We have the opportunity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear those tkiyas and to understand that it's ki'ilu akadatem atzmechem. On the other hand, it's a mitzvah of shmiya. I have to internalize the experience and I need to understand that it's really about me. And kama dekayif inish tvei mali, if I'm willing to take the message of what a tkiyas shofar is really all about, and to make myself a little more humble and a little more submissive in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's really what the mitzvah is all about. In fact, that's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva. Afal pi shetkiyas shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiras hakasev. The Rambam says, even though we know tkiyas shofar is just a mitzvah that the Torah commands us to do, still it says, uru yeshene mishinaschem, and that is what we're supposed to feel every time we hear the shofar. And therefore the Rambam finishes off and he says that this is an opportunity, it's a time of year for us, zichru bareichem, to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember how grandiose the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence is. Elu ha-shokchem es-ha-emes b'havle azman v'shogim kol shinasam b'hevel varik. There are people who spend their time really involved in nothing important, in nothing of substance at all, asher lo yoav lo yatziv. Writes the Rambam, habitu l'nafsho seichem. Have pity on yourself. Internalize the message of the shofar. Ve'itivu darkachem u'malaleichem. V'yazov kalechem mikem darko hara u'machshavaso asher lo tova. Writes the Rambam, if you want to really understand what shofar is about, obviously, on the one hand, it is a mitzvah min ha-Torah that we all have to do. And that's klapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But for us, writes the Rambam, kama dekayefil inish tvei mali, that's really the mitzvah of shmia, is such a critical component to everything that the shofar represents. It's not simply that we give our mitzvah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's that we turn internally to ourselves and we understand what the shofar is meant to teach and represent for all of us. I wish all of you a wonderful day. Once again, if anybody wants to bring svarim,